Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef.
Hey, welcome to Barbecue Nation After Hours. I'm JT, and we've got Will Homer with us from Painted Hills Natural Beef. Not only is Painted Hills a sponsor of the show, but they've been family friends of mine for a long time, and I've worked with them, and their beef is exceptional. And I know you can't get it everywhere that this show is heard, but if you can get your hands on some, you should try it. I would recommend that, and I can say that because it's my show. And but it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. You guys worked very hard to get a standard of what you produce.
Yep.
And that's not easy.
Nope.
And it's expensive.
Yep.
Along the way. Feel free to jump in here anytime.
You know? Nope. No, yeah.
So,
Yeah.
Is it hard to get people to say, and we've talked about this in a similar fashion, especially around Christmas, they go into a store and there's a Painted Hills rib roast, prime rib, if you will, and it's there. Okay. So, and that is, they've got some pre-cut ones that are 2 and 3 rib roasts and different stuff like that. And they're on special at $12 a pound.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then you got the ones that they bring in from Canada that are $3.23 a pound. And they go, oh, here.
Yeah.
And you go, you try to explain to people if you're standing there, yep, that's a rib roast, but it's not the quality that you guys put into it. And in developing this, and especially with what's going on now with COVID, and I think this COVID thing, Will, has kind of made people open their eyes, not just to make choices about, do I need 7, you know, different satellite feeds?
Yeah.
Or do I just need 2 or 3 like that? But also about the quality, you know, the old saying of you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You think that's coming around too? People are understanding that a little
bit? Yeah, I think we have a strong following. I have faith in my customer as we go into this time of unknown and, you know, counters are going to get a little rough here and there. And I think I've got a following of people that understand what we're trying to do with Painted Hills and you know, what we're doing out on the ranch, as well as just the no hormones, no antibiotics ever, you know, and what that does for your eating experience. I have faith in them. I believe in them. And I think that we're in a place where they're going to come through and ask for it and be there. So.
Yeah. Well, they should.
Yeah.
I mean, they really should. Because, little unknown fact, sometimes you're not sure what you're getting. Not you, not Painted Hills, but when it, you know, like generic grocery stores. Sometimes you're not sure if you're getting an old dairy cow or if you're getting something really quality.
Well, yeah, that's what the grading's for. The grading that they do in a big packing house is the attempt to classify things. And so if a grocery store is a choice grade store, they're buying choice grade beef. If they're just a beef store, then there's beef of all kinds floating around. But it's not as mystery as it is to many, even such yourself, you know. But I do know that most grocery stores use a big distribution system, and they have a big warehouse, and they buy based on price from whatever and sometimes it's by the packer, by the logo on the wall, by sometimes it's by the location, who's got it and who doesn't. You know, it's a national. This beef thing is nationwide. You know, in the Northwest, I went to an event a while back where they talk about the population of cattle, beef cattle in the United States. And you realize we think we're pretty hot stuff here in the Northwest, but we only have 4% of the beef cows in the United States. We're just a giant national park here in the Northwest. They let us live on, and they let us take care of and manage and stuff like that. But we are not anybody. Now, these guys that wear cowboy hats are going to kick me next time they see me. But we're not a key part of the entire industry. We're a unique part up here in the Northwest. Now, we have the best climate, and we raise the best calves because we have the best climate. We don't have high humidity. We don't have cattle that have to sweat or do any of those things. We got really great cattle, and they spread from this country and go a lot of great places. But we're just not as big as we think we are. In Missouri, you raise 10 cows on 1 acre, and here you raise one cow on 20 acres.
Yeah, I get it. You know, we were talking about Twitter when in between segments here, okay? So the other day, and I did tell you, and I didn't tell you the whole truth, I guess, because we try to stay away from picking fights and stuff on Twitter and all that. Yeah. Some people do that. That's just what they do, and I don't do that.
Yeah.
Except I kind of stepped into it the other day, and I didn't mean to. A guy that we'd had on the show, and another guy from Texas who refuses to come on the show. I won't say he refused. I tried to get him a couple times, and we couldn't do it, and I just kind of moved on.
Smarter than me.
Yeah. So they're going, they had a discussion, and then they're sharing their discussion with people on Twitter, and they're saying that, you know, that in Texas, they're running around like crazy looking for beef and all that. And I chimed in and I said, no, there's lots of beef in the pipeline. It's the processing.
Yeah.
I don't know where you guys are getting your info or who you're talking to, but there's plenty on the hoof out there right now. It's that they can't get them through the plants. Of course, you know, in Texas, they're their own deal there, and I certainly respect that. But there's also big processing plants in, you know, Missouri or Kansas and up in the Dakotas and all this
they
stuff.
Flow towards the feed.
Yeah.
Flow towards the feed. There's a plant or two in, down there. But
But to say that there's not enough cattle, that's totally different. That's a different scenario than what we're in now.
Yeah. You know, I think, I really think, and this is way out there, and I got to quit going way out there with these guys because, you know, you're on the radio and people are going to be getting out their graph paper and drawing lines and doing stuff when I go
nuts.
Yeah, when I go nuts like this. But it's really all driven about how many head of cattle there are. And we went into those early years, and I always go through the pain. I look at the Painted Hills segment. We started in 1996, and we went through a lot of years, and the pain was – it was painful in 2003 when we had the Christmas mad cow.
Right.
And it was painful when they had the hazing of the cow in California. But nothing was actually as painful as when they had the drought for 2 years straight in the Midwest. And at one time, I think the word was they harvested one. They harvested 3 out of 4 cows in Texas, or some. No, 1 out of 4 cows in Texas, 25% of the cows, because there was no feed, right?
Right.
And the Texas Oklahoma country is 25% of the population of cows in the United States. That's a big number. So we went through this big number, and we reduced herd size, and beef got expensive, and cattle got expensive, but it didn't disappear from your store shelves, but it got expensive. So then what happens when you give a cowman lots of money, because he made a lot of money on his cattle because there weren't competition. He had, and then it rained. He had lots of feed. So what'd he do? He kept lots of calves, made lots of cattle, kept his cows, everything grew. So we went in a reverse position, and down it went, and down the prices went, and it all went down, and it seemed to hit a spot where it should have broke through because we had plenty of cattle, but the market kind of held it back, and it kind of held things up a little bit and created a false correction. And I think we've kind of hit this place where there's this false correction. And finally, that fact that the cattlemen made more cattle, and you can't run from the numbers. I think the truth is they made more cattle, and we finally hit a point where we just have too damn many.
Yeah.
But add that too damn many to the COVID problem, and now we've got a wreck that we're going to be in it for a year. We'll be talking about this stuff next spring.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, you'll be back before Christmas, so I mean, we'll be.
I shouldn't have told you I like to talk in this mic.
Yeah, and you've taken up residence in that chair really well. I mean, you're doing.
You bring Gabrielle back; she does a better job. She entertains you better.
She just looks at you across these monitors. Yeah. And just gives you that eyeball thing.
Yeah.
Right across the top, and then you know you've stepped in it.
I've gone too far. I've got no. Yep.
So. Here's another kind of economic-based question.
Oh, gosh. Another page.
Oh, you're good at this. What we were talking about in the first segment is futures.
Ugh.
Okay, so you've got to put on your Kreskin hat every year and predict what amount of cattle you need in the fall and then in the winter and blah, 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 blah. So how is this affecting that?
There is no one knows. No one has an answer.
No.
Right now. And so the futures are all about trying to guess the answer. And the futures trade in every other month scenario. So a contract for August covers July and August cattle, and a contract for October covers September, October. So there's six contracts in a year. There's 6 points of value that they use. And when this COVID thing hit, before the plant started closing, it crashed because there was no future. Nobody knew the future. Nobody understood what was going on. And for the cow-calf guy, his banker uses that as value. And so that's scary. That's a scary thing. For the cow-calf guy, his sale, his next sale to the next guy, you know, the only reason you or I ever buy anything is because we're looking for the opportunity. Well, right. Not. There's two different kind of purchases, right? We purchase a truck because we want to look cool driving down the road. But we purchase cattle because we're looking for the opportunity to make a few dollars as they go by. We're gonna take them and we're going to turn them from this animal and we're going to turn them into that animal over this amount of time and we're going to make a dollar.
Right.
So, and our dollar is derived by that futures board. And so there's no value. That just collapsed. And it's got a lot of people upside down and crazy all over because there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of unknown. We think there's a lot of people from the stock market who put their money in there because it's safer than the stock market. So when the stock, when the stock market went all to heck, they took their money out of the futures market too because they just went home. Right. That's what we think. And so, but we don't know. It's a mystery.
It's parked in bonds and other crap.
Could be. We don't know where it is. We don't know. But I think right now we're starting to find a little bit of security there, a little bit. These packing houses seem to be on the backside of this mess, getting started again. And I think that'll create a little bit of, whatever in the future. And then I think that what they call it open interest is the outside money coming in and putting contracts together. And they think that'll come back around. So what really is surprising, shocking, is the people that are actually in the industry, the cowboy, the cow-calf guy, he's not really in the futures market. And the packer, they're not in the futures market either. It's other money that drives that thing. And we all dip from way on the outside. And all we do is, it just steals your money. You know you're supposed to be using it as a tool.
Well, no. I was thinking of it as a poker chip.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of cattle. And I mean, not a lot in total. A lot. 100 head whatever you want.
40.
40 head is a poker chip.
Yep.
And you put that poker chip in the pot there to see what's going to happen. And you might get dealt a winning hand.
Yep.
And then that guy across the table who actually has a rake in his hand to bring the money to him, those are the futures traders because they make money either way they go. You know, I like to gamble once in a while, but I never played anything where they have a rake.
I'll tell you from the other side, it's an addiction because it's margin trading, right? Yeah. So I can go invest in Tesla and buy Amazon $3,000 or whatever, and it goes up 10%. And I made 10% of my money. Oh wow, that's really cool. But in buying a contract, a futures contract on those 40 head of cattle, I invest $2,000, and I have possession of those 40 head of cattle, which is a margin, very small margin.
Right.
And then they move $2 today. That's a $800 move. So I got $2,000 invested. It moves $4 today. I get $2 today. I get $800. I get out tomorrow. I made $800 on my $2,000. What's that? That's 40% or something right. like that. So, holy cow. Wow. Oh, that's cool. So it goes in your favor. You're on walking on cloud nine. Oh, I did a good job. I'm in. I did a great job. But boy, when it goes the other way,
ooh.
Oh, your butt is dragging 2 centimeters off the ground and you think there's a cloud over your head at all times.
Yeah. Well, I don't ever get political on this show, but you know, Mrs. Clinton made $100,000 in a week in cattle futures because she had somebody telling her.
Yeah.
And she said they told her to dump them, and she did. And she put in 10 and got $100,000 back.
Yeah.
It's, and I don't care about that with her, but I'm just saying those are extreme examples, especially for people putting money in that don't understand it.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
And she came out looking good, and a lot of people have done it. And then the other way, when they give a margin call and all of a sudden you don't have 1,000 head of cattle to deliver that you have to go buy.
Yeah.
And
oh, you just have to send a check. Yeah. You just send a check. You send a check and you send a check and you send a check. We did a little bit of that when it was on. Oh yeah.
That's a tough deal.
Send a check. I have some positions right now that when November, December came through, all the talking heads said that fat cattle were good and we were going to live in a new world. We're going to live in a new world where demand is going to drive beef and fat cattle are going to be $1.32 in May. And I didn't want to pay $1.32. And so I had some opportunities on that board to buy some positions to hedge the future. Great. Great. They were great choices. They're still great choices today.
So for those of people, our listeners that don't know, when you say $1.32, explain to them what that means.
$1.32 would be the price on a fat steer that you raised in your backyard and you brought to me. And you said, hey, I got this fat steer. It weighs 1,400 pounds. I've been feeding it for the past 3 months.
Yeah.
And actually, I got 3,000 of them. And it's time for me to trade them to you. And the cash trade decided somewhere along the way that they were worth $1.32. And so that's a national number, a reported number.
Sure.
And so what happens in the, just to reiterate, you know, the big packers have to buy a small portion of their beef on a cash basis. And that's determined usually at the end of the week. Somebody will be outbid the other three and that'll determine the value. And then all 600,000 get determined. Their base value is determined by that. The rest of them are all contracted. You and I got a contract together. I'm going to pay you X amount of money over the USDA printed value.
Right.
And so that the talking heads said it was going to be $1.32. China was buying beef. We're never going to have another bad day. We're just got all the, you know, we're just, this
gonna
is
get
all
a new truck.
We're going to get a new. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Last night we were watching, what is that on Netflix about Michael Jordan? And they're on their corporate plane, you know, and Gabrielle looks over at me and she says, you know, if I'd have hedged those cattle like I was supposed to in December, we'd have a corporate plane right now.
I could have picked you up at the airport this morning.
Yeah, you could have.
Taking you 15 minutes to get here.
Yes.
Taking you longer to take off and land than it did to fly here.
Yep.
Yeah. So how much Maalox do you go through? I would think you got a drawer full of Tums and that.
You know, I did start taking some CBD because of the hype. You know, I'm easily influenced. And I don't know if that stuff works or not, but I can tell you this, that when my dad, when I take that in the morning and my dad walks through the door about 10:30 and says, what's new today? My blood pressure doesn't get quite as high.
There's something to be said for that because I didn't have any experiences with that since college.
Yeah.
Okay. And my daughter said something, and she said, well, I take these gummies. She just said it in passing.
Yeah.
She said, I take these gummies. They help me sleep. And I said, well, give me one of those. Because I don't sleep.
Yeah.
I've always been.
It's a sleep
machine. Those years of banging around, you know, airports and horse shows and all that. I mean, I just, if I got 4 hours of real sleep a night, I was thinking that I was like in hog heaven, you know. So she gave me one of those. And I took it. I mean, and I didn't get all loopy or anything.
Yeah, right.
But when I went to sleep, I actually slept. I mean, I slept like 7 hours.
Wow.
And I got up and my, you know, I'm old and fat, so I got bad knees from all the stuff. You know, you're headed that direction. I'm not being mean.
I know.
And you know, you kind of takes about 15 minutes to get all your body parts going in one direction in the morning and then get the creaks and the, you know, all that done. And I thought, man,
that
works. Yeah. So I gave her some money. She went to the dispensary and bought me a little jug of those.
Yeah.
And I take a half of one now and I actually sleep pretty good.
Oh, wow.
That's only been about 2 weeks
that
I've been doing that.
Yeah.
But I see the merit in it. I also put that stuff on my hands and knees.
Yeah.
I got some cream.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should have gone into that business.
I think we should have gone into that.
You know,
business. I don't know. There's a lady down the canyon from us who got in it early. And the first time she did it, I think it worked. And then the next time she did it, she got robbed. And then the third time, there's so much expense in the labor. Same problem as the packing house, right?
Yep.
There's so much expense in the labor. They got to a point where my dad was keeping tabs. You know, hey, how's it going? You know, between on his way to come see me, he'd go down there first. And then anyhow, but I know that one time there was a comment made that, well, I could do it mechanically, but it takes all the money, right? So that's been the big, until COVID hit the beef and the pork and all those things, that was, I watched RFD in the mornings, you know, to entertain me, and it's ag related and they talk about the markets, and that's been the topic for the past 6 months was, okay, we're all in the hemp business now, what's the FSA, the government, going to do to subsidize this to make sure it works for us, because they ruined the price in an instant, right?
Yeah, right.
You grew it in every rock pile in Central Oregon and the price, okay, now all of a sudden I'm giving away for free. Well, yeah, it was too easy to grow.
Well, last year I was driving down, going north on the road from our house, and there's a berry farm there.
Yeah.
And they got a building. They built a building, and they, you know, you go in there, and it's fruit and produce and all this stuff, and it's good-looking outfit. And all that. All of a sudden, it was closed.
Yeah.
And I was driving, and the window was down in my car.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay any attention.
Yeah,
And all of a sudden, there's like 90 acres on each side of the road. And now that was commercial hemp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's not the stuff you ingest.
Well, that's the CBD side.
But that's the oil
side. Yeah, the oil side.
But you don't roll it up and smoke
it. No,
not
that side.
But I was like, where in the hell did all these come from?
Yeah. There were.
And they were, it was subsidized by the state of Oregon.
Oh.
You know, the state of Oregon had their hand in it.
Oh.
And all of a sudden there were these real shiny looking pretty Christmas tree size plants out there, and then they were all gone.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend, we'll get back to cattle in a minute, folks. but I had a friend I went to college with, and I played golf with him a couple 3 years ago at a press outing, and I asked him what he was doing because he was no longer working at the Oregonian and stuff like that. And he said, I've invested in a business in Corvallis. And because what he did when he was in college, he bought some laundromats because he knew he wasn't going to make it being a journalist. He was very good at it, but there was no real money.
There was some businessman in him somewhere.
So anyway, he sold his laundromats and got in on the ground floor.
I'll be darned.
But he would never say,
I
invested in the CBD business or the pot shops or anything like that. So,
well, the hemp side went nuts in agriculture, right? They were growing it under circles in the basin.
Right.
And once you start, you took a microscopic business and you took the blinders off and everybody grew it the first year, made a mint. And then they, how much bigger was it than microscopic when they're growing it in center pivots and along the freeway? And it was enormous. There's no way in hell they could use all that stuff.
Right.
So, they just blew it all up. It'll all.
Well, that correlates right back to the story of the cattleman makes some money.
Yeah.
And then he all of a sudden, so last year he turned in 5,000 head.
Yeah.
Well, you know, 18 months from now, he's going to have 25,000 head.
Oh, now you don't understand math now, but it's okay. No, but the point is, I tell you what, a cattleman, real quick, I'll try to keep it quick, but cattlemen, when they make money, they don't pay Uncle Sam anytime, right? You don't ever pay taxes, right? You always have a way to reinvest. So when times are tough, like today, they're going to sell their calves, and they're going to not be able to pay the bank, so they're going to go into their cows and sell a few more cows than they had to.
Right.
That sucks. But on times that are good, when they come to pay the bank, they're going to have extra money. So they're going to
get that new truck.
That's the problem, is they get a new truck, has payments. Yeah. But they're going to hang on to some cows. They're going to keep some cows if it rains. It all depends on if it rains. And see, that is to add to this apocalypse we're dealing with now, is in my neck of the woods, there's no water, and it's droughty too. So
yeah,
it's been tough. But that's typically how it is. We just manage our cattle herd with our grass and our money, and then we'll have more, we'll have less. You know, it'll ebb and flow. Now, this year's a wonderful calf year, and there's a few cows with twins, and it's been great compared to the last 2 years. Last 2 years been snow on the ground, and it's been bad, but... Anyhow, I'm ranting now. I'm rambling.
I'm just listening to that. I had a really good question for you that I was going to end the show with, man. And it just went like normal.
You know, our topic that we just had here 2 seconds ago, they're going to think we're smoking in here. Yeah.
There's no smoking indoors.
There's no smoking indoors. Yeah, all right. Not around here.
Oh, my word.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, here is the last question. Okay. This one's fun. I used to go do demos for you guys once in a while, mm-hmm. like that. Okay. And then I still get this question when people say, I only eat grass fed beef. And I look at them and give them that look that you just had on your face. And I say, well, all cattle are grass fed. And they are.
No, well, there's a big dairy buyout right now.
Well, but my point is, they eat.
But there's a dairyman I just pissed off because he's got grass down in Tillamook that he's, you know, I mean.
Oh, I know, but that's what they normally eat, cattle.
Yes. Cattle are, you know what cattle are? They are an amazing machine. They take a product that we can't eat, we can't consume. We'd starve to death. We had to go out and eat your lawn. If you had to go eat your lawn, if you could eat your lawn, you'd be fat, dumb, and happy. You never spend any money on food, would you? Because you just told me you have to mow it every third day.
Yeah.
But you can't eat your lawn. But a cow can eat your lawn. And in their chambered stomach, they turn that silica matter and that grass into protein, into one of the best proteins we have. And that's the part that's magic about a cow. She's a harvester of grass, turns it into a magic protein that we as humans consume, and it's a incredibly important part of our diet.
Well, they got four stomachs. They should.
Yeah. They actually, you know what I like to tell people? And I didn't go to this class. I only had one ag class, and anyhow, I did make it through. But you know, if you think about it, Jeff, and you probably know this better than I do, they consume that grass, and then they break it down, and they create a sludge out of it.
Right.
And in number two, they grow enzymes, mushrooms, right. Bugs. They grow bacteria in the second stomach. And then in the third stomach, they consume the bacteria.
Yeah,
they don't consume the grass. They consume the bugs they grow.
Yeah, it's a great machine.
It is an amazing machine.
Very efficient.
Amazing.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I can even name all four of them
anymore. I can't anymore either.
The rumen, the reticulum, the abomasum, and something else.
Yeah.
There's one more that I always forgot. I forgot it in college, too.
Yeah.
Missed it on the test. Anyway, Will, thank you so much. It's been a great show. Very enlightening for people, and I hope they enjoy it.
I'm sorry.
And we'll get you back when cattle futures go up.
Let's get it back, Tar. We'll talk about smoking some beef on a barbecue or something.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. And we didn't touch on that today, but I thought this was important for people to be able to hear this and to understand a little bit. Because like you so eloquently said, the talking heads would have you believe that there's doom and gloom and disaster, and we're all going to be looking like, you know, somebody out of the Grapes of Wrath movie, you know, hunting for a tin cup of water and cornbread.
Well, I kind of need a COVID diet myself.
Well, yeah.
My belt don't fit too well. But
just grow bigger calves.
Oh, okay.
Make bigger belts. We'll be back next week with another edition, if I say it properly, of After Hours. And we thank you for listening. And have a good week, everybody. Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it.